This month, we're looking in the month of May. We've been looking through our theme, I should say, is that of the will of God, and knowing the will of God, doing the will of God. And we've studied this before, and I know that. I think we did a couple years ago, but I wanted to come back through and look at what the Bible has to say about the perfect will of God and what it is. So many people today don't know the will of God. If you talk to them, I've had that question brought up many times. They'll come and say, Brother Tim, I just don't know what the will of God is for my life. And that's a hard one to talk to because, I mean, what do you say? I mean, you can't just give them a cookie cutter answer. You kind of got to ask them some questions and find out where they're at, find out what's been going on in their lives or what they have an interest in or whatever the case is, because the Lord uses all of that. So notice, if you will, just one verse here, Psalm 143:10, and then we'll move around to a couple other verses here this evening. It says, "Teach me to do thy will, for thou art my God, thy spirit is good. Lead me into the land of uprightness. The whole chapter here is a psalm of David, or a psalm that he speaks, and it's an incredible psalm, but one time that he speaks of the will of God is right here. And he says, teach me to do thy will. I want to know what you want me to do. Now, we know in the life of David that he didn't always do that, obviously. There were several instances in his life when, although he was a man after God's own heart, he did mess up, didn't he? He blew it. And he was outside of the will of God for a brief period of time during kind of his middle age time in his life, if you will, in that middle period of his kingdom. But we find here, he says, I want to do your will. Now, notice in your notes here, just as we begin, each of us has a desire to be successful with our lives, and we know that. We cannot, or we want our lives to count for something. We want to accomplish something worthwhile. We're looking for fulfillment and satisfaction, happiness, security, and peace. It's a part of the way God has truly designed us. The need to feel important is a legitimate need and in itself is not wrong. How we go about meeting that need can be wrong or it can be right, and we'll see that here tonight. Now, God's perfect will for our lives is crucial to our fulfillment, satisfaction, happiness, security, and peace, as we just said. And God has carefully planned out a life that fits each of us perfectly. It is the right plan to follow and the only plan that will ensure success for our lives. Now, at the time a person is truly born again, there comes a desire to serve the Lord Jesus Christ as an expression of our gratitude for his death on the cross to pay for our sins. Now, if somebody really just has real lethargic after they're saved towards the things of God, you might want to kind of scratch your head a little bit, you know. Oh, I'm saved and I got baptized, I love the Lord, and then you don't see him for a while, you know. Well, where have you been? What happened? There's just nothing there. When you're truly saved, like you dear people here tonight, you just have this gratitude for that, and you want to serve. You want to know what God wants me to do, right? So we want to do something for him. As we begin to grow in grace, we begin to realize that what he desires is not that we do something for him, but rather that we allow him to do his work through us, that we allow him to, if you will, use us. Like the young man who just started out preaching, and he came to his senior pastor, the pastor's mentor, if you will, and he said, boy, I'm just being used and abused. I get no respect. I'm just being used. He said, didn't you pray to be used of God? Didn't you? He said, oh, yes, I did. I guess I did. Yeah. I'm being used, though. You think about it. We learn to be used of God. Now, we know that's the greatest privilege afforded in this life. There's nothing greater than that the God of the universe, the creator, sustainer of everything, would use us in some special way to accomplish his will in this world. So how do we define God's perfect will is the question. It is his general plan for each of us that applies to all, and it is his specific plan that applies to each of us individually. So we know, number one, can I just say, we know that it is God's perfect will that we be saved. That's the first priority. All right, that's the first step in the will of God. You're not going to get into the will of God if you're unsaved. It's just not going to happen. I'm led of God. Well, if you're not truly saved, you're not. You're being led by something else. So we know that. Now, this is for all and is first and foremost. We know 1 Timothy 2:4, he says, God will have all men to be saved and to come unto the knowledge of the truth. All means all, right? We also know that it is God's perfect will that our lives are not wasted. Now, Mark 8:34 or really through 38 if you have. Yeah, and when he called his disciples, he said, whosoever will come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross and follow me. Whosoever will save his life shall lose it. Whosoever loses his life for my sake and the gospel shall save it. He goes on. There's several other verses, but you know the verses very well. He says, don't waste your life. I want to be used of God. So God's perfect will is his plan for us. Now note this, if you will, that his permissive will is our plans as far as he will allow them to be carried out. Now there is something called the permissive will of God, and that is where a lot of us live, if you're like me, very often. It's our plan for our lives as long as God will allow it. Now he may put an end to it if we're going the wrong direction, if we're drifting away from him, if there is sin involved. That's not always sin, but sometimes it is. He'll put an end to it, but he allows us to walk in our own way sometimes and sometimes make our own mistakes and whatnot, but there is a permissive will. Now, we are not to be living, we shouldn't be living only in God's permissive will. We are to allow him to teach us his perfect will. We can know it, we can understand it, we can do it. If you're willing to do his will, it will be accomplished. Then and only then will your life not be wasted. Okay, so first of all, it brings us to the question of why is God's perfect will so important? And then number two is, how do we find God's perfect will? So first, why is it important? Some people ask, what's the big deal about it? Well, notice a few of these verses. Number one, or letter A, we do not know how to direct our own steps. Jeremiah 10:23 says, oh Lord, here comes the storm. Okay. Oh Lord, I know that the way of man is not in himself. It is not in man that walketh to direct his steps, right? Now remember where Jeremiah was during this time. Jeremiah was receiving revelation from God to speak to the nation of Israel. Well, the nation of Israel at this time was in captivity. Remember, they were disobedient. They were not in the perfect will of God, were they? The nation of Israel was walking outside of the will of God. And so he says, oh Lord, I know the way of man is not in himself. We don't know where to go and what to do, do we? I mean, you don't know what to do, don't know what to say. I don't know what's going on tomorrow. He says he's got to direct our steps. That's why the will of God is so vital and important. Letter B, we will always go astray outside of God's will. If you walk outside of God's will, people say, what's the big deal? Who does it hurt? What does it mean? Well, the fact is, scripturally, we're always going to go astray. Proverbs 14:12, there's a way which seemeth right unto a man, the end thereof are the ways of death. Okay, again, notice it says there's a way that seemeth right, and he wants to do what's right. It seems right. Have you heard this before? Well, it's not a big deal. I'm doing what's right. I think that's the right thing to do. But notice it's the end thereof are the ways of death. It leads to death. That's the whole emphasis in the book of Judges. Remember, every man did that which was, and there it is, right in their own eyes. They were trying to do what was right. And that's America today. We're trying to do what's right. We're a moral country. We're trying to do what's right. But here's the thing. We're going according to the wrong standard, right? We're not following the book. And we're trying to figure things out on our own. So outside of the will of God, we'll always go astray and you will be miserable, as we can all attest to in here. Amen. You'll be miserable outside the will of God. Letter C, we must allow God to direct our steps. So Proverbs 3:5-6, you know it, I'm sure. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not unto thine own understanding. Now, the thing is, don't jump to your own understanding. Don't fall to your own, oh, I fell to my own understanding again. You know, no, it says lean. Why? We naturally just start to lean just a little bit, don't we? Well, I know the Bible says this, but boy, we better figure something out financially here. I know the Bible says this, but boy, she is pretty. You know, I don't know what to do, right? We just start to kind of lean a little bit and we acknowledge him and notice what happens. He will or shall direct thy paths. That's plural paths. That means daily. He's going to direct you and show you. Psalm 37:23. I like one of my favorite verses. The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delighteth in his way. They're ordered by the Lord. They're directed. And there's a set of steps that God, if you can imagine, every single morning at the new 24 hours, there is a set of steps God has in place for you for that day. Now, do we follow that? No. But he has a plan for us every single day of our lives. And when we get to heaven, he's going to, I believe, I don't know how accurate this is. This is just something that I was thought of, but that he may show us, I guess I should put it that way. Tim, here's what I had for you and what you could have had, you walked down this path, but here's what you did. Remember you did that? Oh, yeah, I remember I did. I chose not to do that. I chose to go the other way. I really believe he's going to show us those steps that he had ordered for us. So it's so vital and important because we don't know how to direct our own steps. We are going to go astray outside of the will of God. That's just the biblical and practical reality. So number two, then I want to focus tonight, if we can, how do we find God's perfect will? Okay, notice Ephesians 5 and verse 14. Jump to the New Testament. Ephesians 5, 14. He says, wherefore he saith, awake thou that sleepest. Now that's obviously, you know, he's speaking in a figurative sense, okay? Wake up. There's such a lethargy among Christians today, isn't there? I mean, just lazy lethargy about it. Reading our Bible and prayer and just even church attendance and other things. Just laziness and just trying to get people to be faithful and so much. So he says, awake out of that sleep, arise from the dead. Christ shall give thee light. See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time because the days are evil. Wherefore, be not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. There it is. He says, know what the will of God is. Well, three things precede that. That's awake out of sleep. That's walk circumspectly. And that's to redeem the time. To walk circumspectly, you know, we've looked at this before, but as you've ever been in a parade before, you know those horses, they have the blinders on. Well, they put them on for what reason? Horses naturally have a tremendous peripheral vision, don't they? And they're looking around. Well, you got a bunch of kids on the side jumping, firecrackers, throwing candy, jumping, screaming. Those horses get spooked and all kinds of problems. They try to get the horse to what? Focus forward. Just look forward. And so walking circumspectly is I have a 360-degree view of my life, the opposite of that horse, if you will. I want to be aware of what's going on around me. And then he says, redeem the time. Take advantage of the time that you have. You don't have a lot of time. Use it. Why? The days are evil. So how do we find the will of God? Letter A, notice we must obey God's general plan that applies to all who are saved. Now, this is for saved people, not unsaved. Unsaved people, their first number one, really the only thing they need to be concerned with is getting saved, right? They need to find the will of God. But for us that are saved, notice this, follow the Lord in baptism. You need to be baptized. Hesitant to get baptized. Now, if you're a little bit hesitant about water or you don't want to be in front of people, that's understandable. But if you just have an adamant, I was talking to a fellow just about a couple years ago. I said, you need to get baptized. And he claimed to be saved. And he, no, I'm not ready yet. And I tried to explain to him. I said, I know that it's a little intimidating to do that in front of the whole church. I said, but that's a natural thing. You ought to have a desire to do what God wants you to do, right? And all of you have been baptized in here. But you want to do that. So you start to question. If you have a push against being baptized, there's something wrong there. Now, notice also study the Bible and pray. Again, as I said earlier, how many of us struggle to study the Bible and pray? And I'll be the first one to raise my hand. Man, it's hard to do that, isn't it? You don't have time. I don't have enough time, it seems like. And I have all this time. You know, I just make excuses. There's no time to pray. There's no time to read the Bible. I don't want to. I don't look and go, man, I can't wait to read the Bible today all the time. It's kind of like, you want to do other things. Here's another one. Number three. He says, separate from immorality. 1 Thessalonians 4:3 says, for this is the will of God. Well, what is it? Even your sanctification. You should abstain from fornication. Now that's, you know, that immoral sexual sin. Number four, he says, give thanks. Continuing in 1 Thessalonians 5:18, he says, in everything give thanks. Well, why? Here it is. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Again, a Christian should have a heart of gratitude, not jumping up and down and so excited that, you know, you just lost a loved one and that they just found out you have cancer. No, we know what it means. You have a heart of gratitude. Lord, I don't understand it, but Lord, I trust you in it and through it. Number five, we are to spread the gospel. We ought to be propagating the gospel to the world. We ought to be showing that. Again, just the emphasis last week in our missions conference on that and trying to help out. Oh, by the way, thank you. You guys did a fantastic job. I had determined to give Brother Powell that money at the beginning of the week. I said, you know, I'm just going to give him the money. Whatever comes in from our people, it doesn't matter. I'm just going to give him that money. Well, on Wednesday, we sat down and counted out what you folks gave. It was literally $1,200 and like 60 cents. So praise the Lord. You guys did awesome. Thank you. I couldn't believe it. We were just rejoicing in that and kind of laughing for our lack of faith too. But I said, praise the Lord. Amen. So anyways, Brother Powell said he sent that golf cart to the customs. They got to go through it and search it and all these things. And then they're supposed to get it across the border here pretty soon. Anyways, we're to spread the gospel. We're to do that. We're to watch for the return of Christ. These are things that we ought to be doing. This is the will of God for our lives. Now, as we obey the simple written commandments, God will reveal to us his personal plan in details that are not clearly stated in Scripture. Now, some people have said that. Does this Bible show me every single thing I'm supposed to do? Well, no, we know that, doesn't it, right? But when you follow the Bible for the basic instructions that it gives, it reveals more and more. The Lord directs our steps, and we know that. Can I say, letter B, we must not only obey the basic commands, we must submit to God and ask him to teach us his will. Okay, jump over to James 4 and verse 6, or notice there in your notes or up here. James 4, 6, but he giveth more grace. Now notice that. Wherefore, he saith, God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace unto the humble. Submit yourselves, therefore, to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you, he says. And so understanding this, it's very important that we submit to God and really ask him, Lord, teach me your will. I want to know what you want me to do. And here's the conflicting thing is, here's my will and God's will. And again, you folks know this very well, but when you have these conflicting wills, somebody's got to budge. And listen, God's not budging, okay? God is in control. He's all powerful. He created you. He molded and made us, right? And so the sooner we understand that when we submit to his will, the better off we're going to be. 1 Peter 5 and verse 5, he says, likewise, ye younger, submit yourselves unto the elder. Yea, all of you be subject one to another, and be clothed with humility. And here's what he says, for God resisteth the proud and giveth grace to the humble. Truly. So one, submission is a matter of correct attitude toward authority. We must develop this attitude. It doesn't come naturally. We know that. We must work at it. The word here, submission, if you will, means to subordinate reflexively to obey. I like that. It's just kind of like reflexively. It's just this automatic thing. Be under obedience, put under, to be put under, be in subjection, submit self unto, bring yourself to. So submits. Number two, submission to God is demonstrated in our submission to visible authority. 1 Peter 2 and verse 13, he says, submit yourselves to every ordinance of man for the Lord's sake, whether it be to the king as supreme or unto governors, that's government officials, as unto them that are sent by him for the punishment of evildoers and for the praise of them that do well. Now, we are to submit ourselves as best we can, and you know that. The old saying is, and what we believe is, as soon as something that they give to us, an ordinance, a command, or some kind of thing, it contradicts the Bible. We always follow the Bible over government or man, okay? And so if you can follow it, if you can obey it, then obey it. And that's what Peter is saying. Doing it, why? We want to have a good testimony to the praise of them that do well. Okay, so now the first authority, just to emphasize, and the tragedy tonight is that my parents are actually here. So the first authority in our lives is our parents. Exodus 20, verse 12, honor the Lord. No. Honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. Ephesians 6, you know, children, obey thy parents, your parents and the Lord. For this is right, honor thy father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that may be well with thee, and thou mayest live long on the earth. And then Colossians 3:20 says the same thing, for it's well-pleasing unto the Lord. Now, notice this, that there are really three levels to that obedience. Now, the first level, and just using this as a reference point to our obedience, the first level is that you obey because you have no choice. Right? As a little kid, you don't have a choice. You obey or you get a swat. And we still believe in that. Amen. You obey or you get in trouble. You know, mom and dad tell you what to do, where to go, and what to do. Now, as you grow and get your own mind and will, you begin to obey in order to get what you want, right? You kind of realize about maybe 10, 11, 12, 13, maybe even younger, but if I do what they tell me to do, even though I don't want to do it, maybe they'll give me the keys to the car or they'll give me some money to go out or I don't know what it is. And some of our kids here are just saying, don't work. It just doesn't work, does it? Okay. But that's where you get to. Now, you see it. Then you grow simply obeying them because you love them and you want to please the Lord, please God. And you can say amen if you want to say right there. Okay, no, they're not saying it. And I'm still working on that, but that's kind of the route we take there. But anyways, knowing that authority comes to us. So we see as a child of God, we first get saved or whatever. We're trying to know the will of God. We're obeying. We really are trying to do what we're supposed to do. We grow older. We want to obey. We realize, man, I don't want God to be mad at me. I don't want him to punish me. I don't want to be chastened by the Lord. But as you grow in your obedience, you know, you want to do it because what? You want to please the Lord. I want to be faithful in that. So continuing in this paragraph next, all authority comes from God. Now, submission to God requires the submission to proper authority. All submission to God increases our liberty. Now, that's a good one, isn't it? And young people, kids, you know that. Submission brings liberty, doesn't it? It doesn't bring more constriction. It doesn't bring more rules and regulations. It brings liberty. And it brings freedom. And the world gets this all backwards. You take a young girl that thinks that she don't listen to her parents, don't do anything they say. She goes out, runs around. What happens? She's now 16 years old having to raise a baby. I mean, a baby raising a baby, right? You take a young man, the same thing. He's doing all kinds of things he shouldn't be doing. He's now in bondage to heroin and fentanyl. I mean, it's just, you're in bondage. There's no freedom in that. None. Now, think about that. There's liberty. Now, some of you dear people maybe grew up in a home where you didn't have a lot of good leadership, and God blessed your life and took care of you and so gracious. Thank God for that. But notice the greatest place to work is directly under Jesus Christ. He advances you to that position only as you learn to submit to people in authority over you. Okay, so then we understand submitting ourselves, seeking God to teach us his will, and then letter C, notice this last point, we must renew our minds. Now go to Romans 12. This is our memory verse for the month. And I want to encourage you to try to work at that. I know some of you already have maybe some of it memorized from years back. And he talks about this. Renewing our minds to notice God's way of thinking. Romans 12 verse 2 if you do. Yeah, thank you. And be not conformed to this world, but notice, be transformed by the renewing of your mind that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. And so what it is saying is that we have to renew our minds. We have to a new way of thinking. I just got my driver's license renewed. I had to go do that. I can't stand doing that, you know. But I got my driver, and she didn't even wait to, she's like, okay, you ready? Click. And I'm like, you know, you got to see my hairs. I came in from the wind blowing. It was all hair sticking up on the side. It's a really bad picture. Okay. But anyways, I had to get it renewed. And what is it? It takes the place of the old driver's license, right? You don't hand the cop. I've gotten to know our police and law enforcement around here pretty well. When you get pulled over, you don't hand them all three of your last driver's license, four of them. You know, no, I want the current license. Okay, you have to get it renewed, and that's the current, right? I want my way of thinking to be God's way of thinking, and that's clearly laid out in Scripture. Our old way of thinking will greatly hinder us as we've been taught and learned in this world. We need God's way. Psalm 37, if you will. I love Psalm 37. We're just going to look at this verse and then we'll be done this evening. But Psalm 37, we've studied this before as several other set of notes or series I've gone through. I've actually used this chapter because it is so clear in showing us and laying out for us, really, this very thing of having to get a renewed mind and getting back to where we're supposed to be. So notice the progression here. Number one, we take our eyes off the unbeliever. Notice verse 1. Fret not thyself because of evildoers, neither be thou envious against the workers of iniquity, for they shall soon be cut down like the grass and wither as the green herb. Now don't ever forget, they may be having a good time now and making a lot of money and having all kinds of things, but there is an end. There's always an end to it. Okay. He goes on in verse 7, rest in the Lord, wait patiently for him. Fret not thyself because of him who prospereth in the way, because of the man who bringeth wicked devices to pass. He goes on about this. So number one, take your eyes off the unbeliever. How do I get a renewed mind and get God's way of thinking? We've got to get focused on the Lord, don't we? Stop looking at those things and watching out there going through and how they're doing things. Get back. Are you a Bible-believing, good Christian person? Good. Then I want to watch what you're doing. You know, if you're not, you're foul-mouthed, you're dirty, you're conniving, you run around on your spouse. I don't want nothing to do with that. And I would encourage you to truly, if you have a friend like that, really back away from that. Pray for them, try to get them to church and share the gospel. But you don't need to be hanging around that, because we know how that goes. Just try to focus. Number two, notice focus on trusting God. He says in verse 3 there, trust in the Lord and do good. So shalt thou dwell in the land, and verily thou shalt be fed. There's a lot to that. People are starving today. Not physically. What are they starving? They're starving. Emotionally, they're starving. Spiritually, they're starving for attention. They're starving for so much, that fulfillment. Hebrews 11:6, do you have that? I don't know what that says. Oh, yes. But without faith, it is impossible to please him, right? He that cometh to God must believe he is, and he is a rewarder of them. Remember, he rewards us. We can trust him. Number three, delight yourself in Jesus. Notice verse 4, if you're still there, in Psalm 37, he says, delight thyself also in the Lord. He shall give thee the desires of thine heart. Right? We know that. You're delighting in Jesus. He gives you his will and his desires. It's not that I want this and I get to have all these things that I've been desiring. It's his desire in my heart. And I have a desire to see people saved. I have a desire to witness to the brother and sister and friend. I have a desire for those things. And God gives that to us. Number 4, then, surrender all your plans to Christ. Verse 5, commit thy way unto the Lord. Trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. And he shall bring forth thy righteousness as the light, and thy judgment as the noonday. Surrender to him. Give it all to him. Wait, number 5, for his direction. His direction. If you will, notice verse 9, for evildoers shall be cut off, but those that wait upon the Lord, they shall inherit the earth. So there's so much there. As we look at, and I'd encourage you to read the whole chapter. It's incredible. But we're renewing our mind to God's way of thinking. And this is a progression. These are things, some bullet points, if you will, to help us in that. Okay, notice the last paragraph here and we'll be done. But we continue to study his word, follow the leading of the Spirit, pay attention to the circumstances that are affecting your life. By the way, pay attention to that stuff. And there's no mistake. There's no happenstance with the Lord. You know, you stub your toe on the wall. Yes, Lord, why? There's some reason why. God has these things arranged, doesn't he? He arranges events to guide us based on our choices and opens doors and closes doors of opportunity. And I've said so many times, God's doors don't have push or pull on them. None of them do. Some doors I just want to kick open, you know. Lord, give us $1.5 million, right? We need it, right? Lord, please, I want to slam that door shut so those people don't come or do something, you know. Wait on the Lord. So at this point, the three simple things I have said before, but these three simple things will allow you to determine God's perfect will. Now, here's a couple basic things. Number one, what are you thinking of doing? It must be approved by the Word of God. And that's something, seems kind of a little elementary, but it's so true. Whatever you're thinking of doing, is it approved by the Word of God? Does the Word of God condone that? Or does it condemn it, if you will? Number two, circumstances must be arranged so that it is possible for you to do the thing. And the Lord opens up the doors, doesn't he? If you're planning or you're thinking about doing it, the doors just start to open. One and two and three. Man, okay, I'm getting, God is working. God is opening. If every door is shut, you might want to stop and take some time to pray and seek the Lord. Number three, then, it must have the approval of the Holy Spirit within. Well, what do we mean? Notice Colossians 3:15, and we'll be done here. He says, and let the peace of God rule in your hearts. Let the peace of God. Now, not let the peace of God Monday. You may miss it Tuesday, but Wednesday, have it again. No. The word rule means this. Here's the rule. You go anywhere. What are the rules? Here's the rules we set forth. What if I don't do the rules? If I step over the rules? If I ignore the rules? Well, there's consequences. That's what they're saying. Here's the rule. And rule is steady. Let the peace of God rule. Bad day, rainy day, still have peace of God. People talk about me, stab me in the back, I still have the peace of God. Lost my job, losing friends, still have the peace of God. Struggling financially, marriage is getting a little tough, still have the peace of God. We're still focused on that, right? No, he says, here it is. You have the approval of the Holy Spirit. Now these three, I call them the green lights, are on. We can then proceed in that direction. So just talking tonight a little bit about the will of God. Can I know the will of God? Absolutely. Is it a wonderful thing? Absolutely. Is it always fun? No. Is it always easy? No. The will of God is often hard. Your friends get to do whatever they want to do. Your friends can do all kinds of things that feed the flesh and the carnal side of us, and we don't. That's difficult. right? It's hard to do and stay straight-laced and not do things maybe and be faithful and not sinful and not deviate from God's word. It's difficult to do that. But God's will is so rewarding, isn't it? God's perfect will is very, very vital and important, especially in the days we live today. We're living, I believe, in the last days. And also, we're each day we live, that's one day less, isn't it? We're getting closer to eternity. We're getting closer to our death day. I don't mean to sound too morbid, but we really are. And we're thinking about, I want to be in the will of God. I didn't read the verse. I'm going to read it next week. But Peter says, in your latter days, in the days you have left, live them in the will of God and not to the lust of the flesh, not pleasing self and doing what you want. But he says, in these latter days you live, the last 20 years, 25, 40 years, 30 years, I don't know. What is it? I want to live for God. I want to be in his will and doing that very thing. Anyways, thank you for being here tonight. Appreciate you all coming. I'd encourage you, if you will, take these notes home and look some of these verses up. Study it for yourself. I'd appreciate that. All right, let's pray. Can we, Lord, thank you for this evening again and for the opportunity to share your word tonight. Thank you for your goodness to us, that we can know your will. Lord, that you have a will for us. You could just leave us kind of hanging, Lord. You'd not give us any kind of direction or anything and have us figure it all out on our own. But Lord, you said, here's a will. I want you to do this. I have a plan for your life. And we thank you for that. We praise you, Lord, for it. Help us to do our part. Strengthen us now. Be with those on the prayer list we mentioned, Lord. We love and thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.